and attentive. They are not all wrapped up in their own self-concern, hunched over a sunken chest, gritting their teeth and hardly breathing. This is the picture of a closed belly and chest. If the front of your body has accumulated tension throughout the day and throughout the years, you will hardly be able to sit up straight. Your belly and chest will be tight. Your thoughts will center on yourself. Your energy will remain constricted in your head and your awareness limited to self-concern. Your powerful presence won't fill the room at all. You might not even be noticed. Right now, notice your breath. Are you inhaling so deeply you feel your genitals bulging slightly? Is your belly rising and falling with your inhale and exhale like a mighty bellows? Your belly and lower abdomen are special places of power. If your breath does not reach these areas, you cannot recharge your batteries. You will feel weak and unsure of yourself. Your effect in the world will be minimal, less than your full potential. Inhale deeply through your nose and breathe through whatever tensions you notice in your body. Inhale deeply into your lower belly, then exhale. On your next inhalation, fill your entire belly, then your solar plexus and lower chest. Then exhale. Then inhale and fill your belly, solar plexus, and your entire chest, in that order. For several breaths, inhale fully in this way, filling your belly, solar plexus, and finally your chest. Then exhale fully, slowly and smoothly. Throughout the day, practice this kind of breathing in random moments. Pay special attention to any part of your body that seems particularly tense or closed. For instance, if the area around your navel seems tight, then inhale into that area. Literally inhale right into that area and open it with the force of your inhaled breath. Like filling a balloon, you can stretch open the entire front of your body with your inhale. In this way, you counter the effects of accumulated fear and anxiety stored in your body, which diminish your presence and force in the world. Throughout the day, as soon as you feel tension in the front of your body, inhale into that area and open it. The main way you generate bodily tension is by turning your attention back on yourself in self-concern, curling into yourself so tightly you feel all knotted up. Therefore, the main cure is to give yourself to others. Whenever you notice that you are mulling over your own problems, knotting energy into your body as tension, take that energy and create a gift for others. It could be as simple as doing the dishes in the sink, or as complex as building a business that will benefit others. Convert into service the energy that is knotting up the front of your body. Your tension is only the energy of a gift that has become backed up, unexpressed in your body. Your breath is a primary expression of your personal energy. Therefore, your breath is one of the primary ways to give your gift to the world. You can use your breath to open up other people's knots of tension, just as you open your own. Suppose you are with a person who seems a little tense. You can allow yourself to feel his tensions and then inhale into his tensions just as if they were yours. Inhale and open his tensions with the force of your inhalation. Then exhale and release all tensions, yours and his. Inhale and open his knots with the force of your breath. Then exhale and release all contraction, leaving only relaxation and love. All of this occurs without any physical contact. In fact, he probably won't have any idea that you are doing anything unusual whatsoever. You could do this practice at work, with your lover, or with a whole crowd on a bus. If you are alone in your home, you could imagine all the tension in the world and inhale the force of life into this tension to open it up. Then exhale, releasing the tension into love to be dissolved, like a handful of salt released into the ocean. By practicing this form of breathing, you uncurl your attention from yourself, alleviating the knots of contraction in the front of your own body, and at the same time, you assume your true status as servant to others, who also, in their own way, are serving you. These kinds of practices may seem odd to some people, but before you write such practices off as whimsical hokiness, try them. Do them and find out the results for yourself. The next time you are in a meeting with others, inhale into the front of your body and open all the knots, letting your force expand out into the room as a blessing, feeling all stress dissolve in the ocean of love on your exhale. Feeling the unease of others, open their knots with the force of your inhale, and then let the knots dissolve with the release of your exhale. Pervade the room with your conscious loving in this way. Even now, in this moment, inhale down the front of your body, fully expanding your belly and opening your solar plexus and heart. Allow your fullness of force to expand outward, through the room and beyond the room, so as to pervade all others with the conscious force of your breath. Make love with the world in this way, all day, pervading and dissolving all unease. Feel the world against your body like a naked woman, vulnerable and alive, and allow the front of your body to press into and through the world's body, liberating the knots of accumulated pain. Also, when sexually embracing your woman, use your breath to open her body and heart in exactly the same way. Fill her with the force of your loving, inhaling down through the front of her body as if it were yours, filling her genitals, belly, and heart with love energy. Then exhale, and let both of you dissolve in the ocean of your loving. Always pervade through her with your breath, inhaling and exhaling, so that her tension and closure dissolve in the force of your loving, and you dissolve in the giving. Chapter 46. Ejaculate Up the Spine. For most men, ejaculation involves spewing their energy and semen out through their genitals. Afterward, they feel they have released stress. The superior man's orgasm often explodes up his spine and into his brain, from there raining down through his body like an ambrosial bliss of rejuvenation. The technique for converting depletive orgasms into rejuvenative orgasms involves contracting the pelvic floor near the genitals and drawing energy upward along the spine through the use of breath, feeling, and intention. What is premature ejaculation? Some men ejaculate before entering their woman's vagina. Others ejaculate after 10 minutes of sexual intercourse. What matters is not when you ejaculate, but how deeply you are able to commune in love, with no boundaries, through the form of sexual embrace. If your ejaculation signs the end to your session of loving before both you and your woman have fully opened yourselves, then your ejaculation is premature. If you are like most men, your first sexual experiences as a teenager involved masturbation. Masturbating over and over ends up conditioning your body and nervous system to a habitual sequence: genital stimulation, mental fantasy, building up tension, and ejaculating. Teenage masturbation is essentially an exercise in fantasy, done alone, without much love or even human intimacy. By the time most men are having sex with women, they repeat the same sequence they learned while masturbating. Sex has become a road toward ejaculation, a road paved with internal imagery, self-enclosure, and the desire to release tension. To realize the full potential of sex, you must learn how to recondition your body and nervous system. You must learn how to unhabitualize the mechanics of your ejaculation and convert your orgasm into a massive profusion of energy which deepens, not ends, the lovemaking session. The first step is undoing the habits you learned while masturbating as a teenager. Instead of tensing your muscles as you become sexually stimulated, learn to relax them. When you notice your face squinching up, relax it. When you notice your breath getting fast and shallow, slow it down and deepen it. When you notice your belly tight and your chest hard, open your belly and soften the area around your heart. The next step is to redirect your attention. Learn to feel your partner more than your own sensations during sex. Rather than curling attention into yourself and feeling the pleasures moving in your own body, feel outward, into and through your partner. Feel your partner more than you feel yourself. Feel her movement, her moans, and her internal energy. Eventually, with practice, you will be able to feel through your partner, as if your partner's body were a doorway into a vast open space of energy, light, and awareness. This unobstructed feeling is the basis for true lovemaking. Extend your love out beyond yourself, and in time, through and beyond your woman. This takes practice, since there is a strong tendency to focus on your own physical sensations, especially during times of intense sexual stimulation. Counteract this tendency by practicing to feel beyond yourself and through your partner as if there were no obstructions to your loving at all. Besides relaxing and loving into and through your partner, you must become very sensitive to the force of your breath. Breath moves life energy through your body as well as your partner's. If your breathing becomes too shallow, the life force cannot be conducted through your body. Instead, this force builds up, usually in your head or in your genitals. If it builds in your head, you will begin to spend more and more time fantasizing about sex and women. If it builds up in your genitals, you will feel the need to ejaculate, either through sex or masturbation. Therefore, if you have not breathed fully during the day, by the time you approach your sexual partner, you will be filled with fantasies and ejaculative urge. So, a large part of avoiding premature ejaculation is to breathe fully, deeply, and with great force throughout the day. Your inhales should feel like they are drawing energy down the front of your body, filling your belly and genital region. Your exhales should feel like they are moving energy from your pelvic floor up your spine into your head. By breathing fully in this cycle, down your front and up your spine, your internal energy can flow freely. Your head and genitals don't get clogged or tense with energy, and your urge to ejaculate is diminished. Sex intensifies the life force in your body. As you become more and more stimulated, your breath quickens and your body begins to writhe with energy, which tends to become focused in the genital region. Unless you are careful to move this energy with your breath, it will build up in your genitals and cause a pressure that wants to be released through ejaculation. There is a specific exercise you can perform throughout sex and also during the approach to orgasm. By doing this exercise, you will convert the direction of the orgasm, so instead of ejaculating out your penis, you will ejaculate up your spine, experiencing intense bodily bliss and emotional openness, far beyond the quick pleasure and depleted peace following an ejaculative orgasm. To practice this exercise, you must learn to consciously contract the muscles of the floor of your pelvis. This area includes your genitals, anus, and perineum, which is the space between your anus and genitals. This exercise of contracting your pelvic floor feels a lot like you are trying to stop yourself from going to the bathroom. In addition to contracting the floor of your pelvis, practice pulling it upward into your body and toward your spine. This upward pull will actually lift your scrotum slightly up toward your body. As a single movement, practice contracting and pulling upward the entire floor of your pelvis, including the anus, perineum, and genitals. You can practice this in sets of 15 or 20 contractions, holding them as long as you can. Do several sets like this, 3 or 4 times a day. Eventually, you will be able to contract and pull up your pelvic floor easily, holding it for as long as you want. This means you have developed the necessary muscular control. Now you can practice the more subtle work of moving the energy up your spine. At first, it may seem like you are just imagining internal energy moving in your body. But with practice, you will more easily see or feel this energy moving. After all, it is the same energy that, during intense sexual stimulation, you have no trouble feeling build up in your genital region, which is then released through ejaculation. You can feel it building up like water behind a dam, wanting to burst out. Well, the same energy can burst upward, and when it does, you will experience an orgasm far more pleasurable than the brief burst of typical genital ejaculation, and also far more healing and enlivening. While you are having sex, but before you are close to ejaculating, practice contracting your pelvic floor as just discussed. While you contract it and pull upward, breathe the energy up your spine. you will have to experiment to determine whether to inhale or exhale the energy up your spine, although most people find that exhaling up the spine works best. If you combine the upward contraction of your pelvic floor with breathing up your spine, you should lose just a little bit of your erection, as well as the need to ejaculate. As you continue making love, repeat this exercise as often as you need to in order to maintain relaxation and openness. Even while practicing this technique, you may notice that you occasionally come very close to having an orgasm. At this point, stop moving, apply the upward contraction of your pelvic floor, and breathe the orgasm energy up your spine. In addition to the upward contraction of your pelvic floor while breathing up the spine, some men find it helpful to clench their fists and teeth while looking upward with their eyes, especially when the urge toward ejaculation is particularly strong. With practice, however, all the muscular action becomes very subtle and gentle until the entire exercise is done primarily through your breath, feeling, and intention. When the energy shoots up your spine, relax and enjoy the colors, feelings, and blisses that will fill your head and rain down through your body. Once you are proficient at this exercise, you can evoke the same sensations in your partner by feeling into your partner from your heart as the orgasm shoots up your spine. The upward movement of your energy will magnetize the same movement in hers. These practices will not be successful unless you are able to surrender as love in the midst of sexual embrace. Love is the governor of energy. More and more, you must practice being love in the form of sexual coupling. Regardless of how tough your day has been, regardless of the burdens you face in your life, sexing should be a time of practicing love. Like meditation or prayer, sex should be a special time of practicing opening your heart and giving love fully, into and through your partner, and in communion with that which you hold most sacred. If your heart is closed, your energy will be obstructed, and you will never be able to convert your spurt into a lightning bolt of love. If you don't practice love, your sexual energy will be governed by old habits of body and emotion, which are all about the tiny commotion of ejaculation. So if you want to expand sexual bliss as fully as possible, remember that your emotional disposition is far more important than the technical exercises themselves. Because each individual is different, you must experiment and discover what techniques, done as exercises of love, work best for you. With practice, you will easily be able to experience deep, non-ejaculatory orgasms that shoot up your body as light, leaving your heart wide open, your energy enlivened, and your body reverberating in bliss. You will be able to make love for as long as you want, and sex will rejuvenate rather than deplete your life force. In summary, this is what to remember as you experiment and discover what techniques work best for you. 1. Rather than fantasizing or entertaining inward sexual imagery of any kind, remain totally present, aware of your own body, breath, and mind, and especially attentive to your partner. Break the masturbatory habit of inward fantasy by consciously practicing sex as a relational play of love with your partner. 2. Keep your body and breath relaxed and full, especially keep the front of your body relaxed, so that your belly is vast and your heart is soft and wide. This will help prevent too much tension from accumulating in any one area. 3. Learn to feel into and then through your partner, so that your attention is directed beyond your own sensations and even beyond your partner's sensations. Practice feeling outward, without limit, as if you are feeling to infinity. In other words, whatever you are feeling, feel it fully, and then feel through and beyond it, so that sex becomes a constant feeling through and beyond every sensation, rather than focusing on any particular sensation. 4. Throughout the day and during the sexual session, practice breathing so that your inhalation moves energy down the front of your body and the exhalation moves energy up your spine. Excessive chronic thinking or addiction to ejaculation is often a sign that your energy is blocked and you are not yet breathing fully in this circle throughout the day. 5. During sex, occasionally practice the upward contraction of the floor of your pelvis while breathing sexual energy up your spine so it fills your whole body. Especially as you begin to approach orgasm, you can combine the upward contraction of your pelvic floor with breathing up the spine in order to shoot your orgasm up into your brain and even out through the top of your head, rather than down and out your genitals. This upward orgasm will then feel like it is gently seeping down through every cell of your body, saturating you with thick, open light. These techniques will be less than effective unless you practice love during sex. The natural intelligence of love itself acts to circulate energy in the most healthy way possible. These techniques are mostly exercises to counteract years of poor sexual habits, usually initiated during teenage masturbation. After eliminating the mechanical habit of ejaculation and unobstructing your energy, the force of your heart will very naturally guide your orgasm so it explodes upward throughout the body and brain, before raining down in a profusion of bliss, which not only rejuvenates you, but dissolves your edges like shadows in the sun. Part 8. Men's and Women's Yoga of Intimacy. Chapter 47. Take into account the primary asymmetry. Intimate relationship is never the priority in a masculine man's life, and always the priority in a feminine woman's life. If a man has a masculine sexual essence, then his priority is his mission, his direction toward greater release, freedom, and consciousness. If a woman has a feminine sexual essence, then her priority is the flow of love in her life, including her relationship with a man whom she can totally trust in body, emotion, mind, and spirit. Man and woman must support each other in their priorities if the relationship is going to serve them both. Although you and your woman are equal beings, you are very different creatures. If she has a feminine sexual essence, her core will be fulfilled when love is flowing. For example, she can experience difficulties in her career, but if full love is flowing in her life, with her children, friends, and with you, then her core will be fulfilled. Not so for you. If you have a masculine sexual essence, then your woman and children can be loving you all day and night, but if your career or mission is obstructed, you will not feel at ease. You won't even want to share much intimate time with your woman until you have your career or mission back on track. Your woman's core is fulfilled by love. Your core is released from stress by aligning your life with your mission. To you, intimacy is something to be enjoyed in addition to your purpose. To your woman, intimacy is at the core of her life, and the tone of your intimacy colors everything else she does. When your intimacy is going great, your woman's life is filled with the color of love. She feels good at work, at home, in bed. When the intimacy is not going so great, when your woman feels unloved, rejected, hurt, or abandoned by you, then her day will be colored by hurt. At work, at home, and in the bed, the pain of unlove will color her disposition. But for you, things are different. When your intimacy is going bad, you can't wait to leave the house and go to work. There, you can be in your element, aligned with your purpose, and happy. For you, the intimacy is just one aspect of your life. When you are absorbed in your mission, you often forget entirely about your intimacy. For your woman, the intimacy is at the core of her life and colors everything else she does. This is the primary asymmetry in intimacy. It goes much farther than this, though. For most men, their woman is replaceable. Harsh, but true. If you are like most men, you know, deep down, that if you were to lose your present woman, you would deeply grieve, but you could eventually find another. Many times, in fact, you have probably fantasized about finding another woman even before you lose the one you have. Because a man's priority is his mission, he will always gravitate to a woman whom he feels would most support his mission. If he feels another woman would enliven him and give him more energy for his work, he might desire her as an intimate partner. However, you are lodged in the heart of your woman. She feels you all day. She senses where you are at. feeling threads from her heart are connected to your heart, day and night. You are not replaceable in her perception. She does not frequently consider other options as you probably do. Whereas you live in a world of relational possibility, she lives in a world of relational actuality. Your relationship with her is not only at the core of her life, but is also the main determinant of her mood. If your woman has rejected her own feminine core, then she will struggle against her inherent heart connection with you. She will try to identify with her masculine side, attempting to deprioritize you and your relationship. She will think that she must live her own life and put more energy into her own career, for instance. While it is obviously healthy for every man and woman to learn to become whole and independent, it is self-destructive for your woman to try to lessen the import of your relationship in her life. If she has a feminine sexual essence, the desire for the flow of love is at her core, no matter how dedicated she is to her career or other activities. Without a deep and loving intimacy, with you or with the divine, she hurts. It will never work for her to try to quell the pain by absorbing herself in her career, her art, or her friends. If she has a feminine essence, she must honor herself by owning her deep desire for the flow of love in her heart, just as a person with a masculine essence must honor his or her direction in order to be truly happy. Our culture has become so anti-feminine that many women are trying to deny the feminine core desires and adopt a masculine way of dedication to mission. By denying their feminine essence, such women are predisposing themselves to emptiness of heart, depression, and bodily symptoms of disease. Likewise, you must not deny your woman's feminine essence by feeling or saying to her, "Your whole life seems to revolve around our relationship. That's not healthy. You should have your own life, your own direction, your own career and friends. Stop complaining about our intimate problems and get a life." While it is common sense that she should live a fulfilling and engaging life outside of your relationship, it is sexual wisdom to understand that her feminine essence will always hold the flow of love at its center. That's just the way it is. This flow of love could be in direct relationship with the divine, although it is usually in relationship with a man. The desire for intimate loving is as central to your woman's life as the mission toward freedom, financial, psychological, and spiritual, is to yours. Think of how many hours a day you dedicate to your mission, and compare that with how many hours a day you spend serving your woman's deep desire for the magnification of love. If you want her to honor and support you in your quest for freedom, you must honor and support her in her love of loving. Her devotion to love has a lot to teach you. Some men feel guilty for not being as into the relationship as their woman is. You must understand that this is natural. If you have a masculine essence and your woman has a feminine essence, you will never be as concerned, distraught, or elated about your intimacy as your woman is. Don't fake it. Don't try to act concerned for the sake of your woman. She can feel where you are really at. Instead, be authentic to your core desires and dedicate your life with utter impeccability to your highest goals. If one of your highest goals is psychological or spiritual freedom, then you will highly value your intimacy. Nobody will press your buttons or reflect your asshole to you better than your woman. She will point out your weaknesses better than a boot camp drill sergeant. She will reflect your ambiguity or clarity better than any workshop teacher. She will do you better than a whore and give you more loving than you can handle. And all the while, she will shower your life with radiant blessing, healing, and enlivenment, if she learns to own her true feminine desires and you learn to own your true masculine desires. When you both honor the primary asymmetry in intimacy, you can each concentrate on your true desires rather than compromising for the sake of an imaginary truce between genders. When your life is truly aligned with your highest purpose, you'll become more present, more loving, and more humorous. Your woman will then be the first recipient of your magnified presence, love, and humor. If your intimacy is not constantly growing in this way, your life is not aligned with your highest purpose. Likewise, if your woman devotes herself to her true heart desires, you will feel it. Her energy, radiance, wisdom, and power to create heaven on earth will feed you constantly, even when it is not directed toward you. You will be inspired by her magic, enchanted by her sexuality, awed by her knowingness, and enlivened by the life that flows so lovingly through her body. However, if she has chosen to deny her heart desire and adopt more masculine goals of purpose and mission as her core needs, both of you will suffer. Her radiance will diminish, her guardedness will increase, and neither of your hearts will feel relaxed in the intimacy. Your woman could be a corporate executive, and you could be a house husband. That's fine, as long as you are living your highest purpose and her life is devoted to love. Honor this primary asymmetry in yourself and in your woman. Only when you are willing to support each other's core desires will the intimacy give each of you what you want, and then perhaps bring you beyond even that into the utter joy of being of which your relationship is only a hope. Chapter 48. You are responsible for the growth in intimacy. There are masculine and feminine gifts in intimacy, and each gift comes with its own responsibility. The direction of growth of a relationship is primarily the man's responsibility. The energy of an intimacy, pleasure, sexual flow, and vitality is primarily the woman's responsibility. A simplified way of saying this is that the man is responsible for the woman's depth of love, or openness of mood, and the woman is responsible for the man's erection, or energy in the body. Once you have grown into independent adulthood, you no longer need somebody to take care of you. You can be responsible for yourself. In particular, you realize that you are responsible for your own happiness. Nobody can live your life for you. You must create your own health, success, and happiness. This sense of self-responsibility is only a partial maturity, however. Beyond self-responsibility lies the responsibility to give your gift. It is important to grow beyond dependence on your intimate partner for your own happiness. But it's equally important to grow beyond simple independence and autonomy. The next stage of intimacy after personal independence has been attained is the mutual flow of gifting, or serving each other in love. You may have noticed that your woman can get lost in her moods. She can get on a roll of hyper-nervousness, or she can feel dejected and mope around the house surrounded by a black cloud. It is extremely difficult for most women to get out of their mood once they are in it. Your loving intervention is one of your great masculine gifts. The point is not to be her therapist, but to be her wake-up call, her heart opener, her reminder of the primacy of love. If it takes you more than 5 minutes to open her into love, you are probably talking too much and acting too little. Or perhaps you have forgotten your true purpose. Your masculine gift is to know where you are, where you want to be, and what you need to do to get there. If you don't know one of these, then you need to discover it by any means necessary. This vision is, essentially, the basic gift you have to offer your woman, as well as the world. If you have no higher vision than the day-to-day grind of housework, job, childcare, TV, and vacations, you are failing your birthright. Your woman will feel cheated and ungifted by you, as will the world, and they will both give you less of their gifts in return. If your woman is always stressed out, you need to know what she could do with her life in very practical terms so she can relax. Perhaps she needs to exercise more, meditate more, change her career, dance more, or spend more time with her woman friends. If your woman feels unfulfilled most of the time, you need to know what she is missing. How often does she open her heart and body in the irrepressible ecstasy of devotional surrender? How often does she abandon herself fully into the divine love which surrounds her? How often do you serve her to do so? Are you playing the game of sensitive man, giving her space to be miserable, rather than offering her your consistent and fearless gifting? And if she doesn't want your gift, your deepest wisdom and unsuppressed loving, then why would you want to be with her? Your main gift in intimacy is to guide her, moment by moment, out of her moods and into the openness of loving, and then, day by day, to guide her life into greater degrees of divine love, even beyond the relationship, so that her life becomes primarily communion, gifting, and celebration. If you cannot offer your woman such guidance, what can you offer her? Why is she with you? What is your relationship all about? To offer this masculine gift, you must cultivate your sense of daily practice. Like a musician practicing his art, you must practice, daily, the art of feeling through your fear, feeling to your edge and then living just beyond your edge, neither slinking into private consolation nor pushing so hard you disconnect from your source. The source that is your deepest truth must become more and more the impulse of your life. Over time, all of your activities must become aligned to this source, and so must your relationship. Because you probably tend to become lost in your thoughts, in your goals, and in your projects, one of the main gifts your woman can offer you is getting you into your body, into the present, into love, which connects you to your source. Through her touch, her loving, and her attractiveness, she can also give you energy so that your whole body becomes like an erection, full and alive, and ready to penetrate the world into love. Your woman might be the President of the United States. Still, if you have a masculine sexual essence, her special gift to you is to bring you back into your body with the attractive force of her feminine energy. Without a woman to serve your present embodiment of love, you might spend most of your time working on your projects, staring into a computer screen, churning thoughts in your head, or seeking future goals of financial or spiritual freedom. Meanwhile, you have lost touch with the present, with your body and your woman. When you can simply be with your body and your woman, fully present, without pulling away into your head of separation, then the boundaries begin to dissolve in the openness of your loving. When you can feel through your woman and your body, they become as if transparent, and the source and radiant substance of existence becomes obvious through them. Your natural gesture in this revelation of transparency is service. There is nothing to do but dissolve in the giving of your gift. Your woman may not want to receive your gift. Your woman may resist your gift, and so may the world. But you have no choice. Live at your edge. Love as fully as possible. Let your body be erect with the energy of your deep source, and take full responsibility for giving whatever love you have realized to the world and your woman. Both will seem to refuse you and seduce you until you can feel through them. Feel through your woman and the world, and die in the giving of your gift. Chapter 49. Insist on practice and growth. Direction in life is a masculine priority, even in intimate relationship. A less spiritually mature man may say to his woman, "My way or the highway." A man in the process of growing will often soften his direction and seek a compromise with his woman, playing Mr. Nice Guy. But a superior man will not settle for less than the fullest incarnation of love of which he and his woman are capable. With compassion, he slices through all bullshit and demands authenticity and humor. It's as if he were saying to his woman, "The divine way or the highway?" It's the same masculine insistence on direction that a weaker man will demand. But rather than wanting his woman to follow his personal direction, a superior man wants her to move in the direction that most serves her growth in love and happiness. He will settle for nothing less. If you don't know your own direction in life, you certainly will stand on shaky ground offering your woman direction. So the first step is to align your own life so that at least in this present moment, you are living at your edge, fully aligned with your sense of purpose. If you are not absolutely certain that, in this moment, you are living exactly the life you need to, then your woman will feel your lack of clarity, and she will fight any kind of guidance you offer her. You will tend to forget the purpose of your existence as you get lost in your daily round of projects, business, and duties. Your woman will tend to forget the love at her core as she gets lost in cycles of mood and emotion. As a gift to both of you, you must cut through your own nose-to-the-grindstone mentality, as well as your woman's ensconcement in sadness, fear, and anger, and reveal the truth. However deeply you have penetrated into the mystery of existence, it is that depth from which your gift will spring. Any obstruction to that depth by yourself or your woman must be cut through in the present moment so that your gift may come from the deepest source. If you don't cut through and take direction, your woman will. Masculine and feminine energies in intimacy are governed by the law of conservation. The less masculine direction you are living in truth, the more masculine direction your woman will take on. If you are lolling about in bozo land or working hard but actually not living your true gift, then your woman will resent your lack of deep direction. She will begin to take on the masculine blade herself, trying to cut through your lolling so that you feel the urgency, connect to your depth, and really give your gift. Since at your core, however, you are masculine, her masculine attempt to cut through your lolling will depluralize you. You will bash heads with her like two rams, since both of you are in your masculine. And if you move into your feminine, things may get worse. A deep habit may develop wherein no matter how strong you are in the business world, you become pussy-whipped in your relationship. Your woman gets sharp and masculine. You become falsely receptive and agreeable, and meanwhile, both of you feel like vomiting. If your woman is chronically sharp with you, it is most likely a sign that, regardless of how successful you are outside of your intimacy, you are not aligning both of your lives with the highest truth. You are not cutting through the underbrush of your duties and your woman's moods to reveal the fertile ground source of your lives. And so, your woman must wield her own sword. By the law of conservation of masculine and feminine energy, whatever masculine gifts you aren't offering, your woman will naturally try to offer. But since, in truth, your core is masculine, her masculine offerings will most likely turn you off, eventually even repulsing you. You are entirely responsible for cutting through your own laziness, addictions, and unclarity. There is nothing to wait for and nobody to blame. Whatever techniques are appropriate, use them. Try talking with your friends, using therapy, practicing meditation or prayer, going on a vision quest, reading scripture, walking in nature, keeping a journal, or studying with a teacher. Remember that your success with any method you choose depends entirely on your actual commitment to discovering your deepest truth and aligning your life with it. You could meditate until you're blue in the face, but it won't work if, when it comes down to it, you'd rather masturbate, read the newspaper, or watch TV than cut through your addictions, discipline your daily life, and give your gift from your deepest, most blissful source. The quality of your intent and the consistency and depth of your application determine the results of your direction and gifting, as well as your capacity to guide your woman's life into greater happiness and bodily surrender into love. Chapter 50. Restore Your Purpose in Solitude and with Other Men. A man rediscovers and fine-tunes his purpose in solitude, in challenging situations, and in the company of other men who won't settle for his bullshit. But women strengthen their feminine radiance best in the company of other women in mutual celebration and play. A man must arrange for both forms of restoration, his own solitude and men's gatherings, and his woman's time with other women. If you spend too much time with your woman, you will rub off on each other in the worst way. In order to get along together, she will begin to adopt your masculine patterns of speech, denying her feminine desire to flow in play and pleasure without having to make masculine style sense or fulfill a purpose. You will begin to adopt her feminine patterns of touch and affection, denying your desire to get down to it with your mission or your woman. Instead, you will find yourself pecking your woman on the cheek or giving her hugs and pats of lovey-dovey reassurance. In short, the goddess and the warrior will become neutralized householders, sharing only the mildest play of sexual polarity. In order to enliven her feminine core, your woman should spend time every day in absolute abandon and celebration. During these times of dancing, singing, laughter, and sheer delight, her body and mind should be totally released of any obligation to be masculine, directed, controlled, structured, or goal-oriented. These occasions are most rejuvenating when she is with other women, magnifying and rejoicing in each other's feminine radiance and flow. If your woman lacks this frequent feminine rejuvenation, she will develop symptoms of depressed feminine energy, disease, especially in her more feminine parts, lack of life energy, low sexual desire and enjoyment, and a blue, downhearted, despondent disposition. Much of the modern men's movement has concentrated on men reclaiming their inner feminine energy. If you want to revitalize your own feminine energy, then you can do pretty much the same as women do to revitalize their feminine energy. You can go out into the woods and sing and dance and laugh with your friends. For men who have become rigidly stuck in their masculine direction, without allowing the flow of joy and sharing in their lives, this is good medicine. But for men who have lost their sense of purpose, who don't know what their life is about, or who have trouble aligning their life with their truth, singing and dancing aren't the remedy. The cure for lack of purpose is to be challenged to live at your edge, since you have lost the capacity to live there by yourself. The two ways to bring you right to your masculine edge of power are austerity and challenge. Austerity means to eliminate the comforts and cushions in your life that you have learned to snuggle into and lose wakefulness. Take away anything that dulls your edge. No newspapers or magazines. No TV. No candy, cookies, or sweets. No sex. No cuddling. No reading of anything at all while you eat or sit on the toilet. Reduce working time to a necessary minimum. No movies, no conversation that isn't about truth, love, or the divine. If you take on these disciplines for a few weeks, as well as any other disciplines that may particularly cut through your unique habits of dullness, then your life will be stripped of routine distraction. All that will be left is the edge you have been avoiding by means of your daily routine. You will have to face the basic discomfort and dissatisfaction that is the hidden texture of your life. You will be alive with the challenge of living your truth rather than hiding from it. Unadorned suffering is the bedmate of masculine growth. Only by staying intimate with your personal suffering can you feel through it to its source. By putting all your attention into work, TV, sex, and reading, your suffering remains unpenetrated, and the source remains hidden. Your life becomes structured entirely by your favorite means of sidestepping the suffering you rarely allow yourself to feel. And when you do touch the surface of your suffering, perhaps in the form of boredom, you quickly pick up a magazine or the remote control. Instead, feel your suffering. Rest with it. Embrace it. Make love with it. Feel your suffering so deeply and thoroughly that you penetrate it and realize its fearful foundation. Almost everything you do because you are afraid to die. And yet, dying is exactly what you are doing from the moment you are born. 2 hours of absorption in a good Super Bowl telecast may distract you temporarily, but the fact remains. You were born as a sacrifice, and you can either participate in the sacrifice, dissolving in the giving of your gift, or you can resist it, which is your suffering. By eliminating the safety net of comforts in your life, you have the opportunity to free fall in this moment between birth and death, right through the hole of your fear, into the unthreatenable openness which is the source of your gifts. The superior man lives as this spontaneous sacrifice of love. The other means, besides austerity, for rediscovering your masculine core is through challenge. The more superficial forms of challenge include activities like mountain climbing, ropes courses, competitive sports, and boot camp. These forms of physical challenge instantly enliven the masculine sense of purpose and direction in men and women. Deeper forms of challenge involve directly giving your gifts in ways that have been blocked by your fear. If you have always been afraid of public speaking, you can take on the challenge of speaking in public once a week for 3 months. If you fail and miss an appointment 1 week, the following week you must give 3 talks. If you have always wanted to write a novel but could never finish one, you tell your friends that you are going to complete 1 chapter a week or a month for the next year. Every time you don't complete your weekly goal, you owe your friends $100. If you don't complete your yearly goal, you owe them $10,000. The point is, there must be a consequence for freezing in the face of fear. There are obvious consequences for freezing in the face of fear when mountain climbing or playing competitive sports. You must instill consequences throughout the rest of your life, unless you want to cling to the safety net of superficial pleasures. The most potent forms of masculine realignment involve both austerity and challenge. Go to the middle of the woods by yourself, with only survival necessities. Nothing to read, nothing to do. Fast from food and don't sleep for as long as possible. Challenge your attention with some practice, like chanting or ritual movement, so that your attention doesn't drift or become balmy. Open yourself and wait. Do not cover your suffering. Do not quit before you fall through the hole of your fear and emerge with a vision of your true mission, the unique form of your living sacrifice. This kind of isolation and challenge is an extreme and potent form of masculine vision questing, but there are more common forms that are useful in everyday life. Spend time every day in solitude, with no distractions. Just sit for 10 minutes. No fidgeting, no channel surfing, no magazine thumbing. Just be exactly as you are, not trying to change anything. Stay with your suffering until you fall through it and into it, the groundless source of your life. Just as your woman must regularly spend time with only women, you must regularly spend time with only men. At least once a week, get together with your friends to serve one another. Cut through the bullshit and talk with each other straight. If you feel your friend is wasting his life, tell him so, because you love him. Welcome such criticism from your friends. Suggest challenges for each other to take on, in order to bring each other through the fears which limit your surrender and gifting. Always agree on consequences for not persisting in the challenge. For instance, if you agree to ravish your wife for 3 hours every other day for a week, then also agree to mow your friend's yard if you miss a day of ravishment. You should alternate these kinds of cutting-through-the-bullshit gatherings with masculine celebrations. Even during these celebrations, though, there should be a challenge to remain conscious and undistracted. They are not occasions for lapsing from fullness, but for communing beyond fear. Perhaps you can all go swimming in ice-cold water together, or drink to the point of inebriation and then spend the rest of the night chanting hymns of the mystery of existence. Nobody allowed to drift. Whatever you do, share as much loving as you can with your friends, without settling for mediocrity or less than each man's fullest gifts. Make sure that you arrange for your woman's rejuvenative time and your own. Otherwise, you will rot in the cushions of bargain stagnation and sexual neutralization, which pads your true edge of living your gift in relationship. Chapter 51. Practice Dissolving. Like dissolving in the intensity of an orgasm, a man's greatest desire is to be utterly released. Moment by moment, practice loving through your woman and the world, allowing the force of your surrender to transform every moment into an orgasm of divine dissolution. Embrace every moment of experience as a lover, and trust whatever direction love moves you. Die in the giving of your gift, so you don't even notice you have stopped holding on to yourself. Fear is your final excuse. Don't fight it. Love through it.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.